Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hey. Another funny Friday. Pastor Pussycat Laugh Joke Sing. Saw a great Broadway show this week. Oh, it's closing February 14th. You want to catch it? It's Misery. Bruce Willis, Laurie Metcalf. I'm still shaking from one of the scenes. It was very good. The acting was terrific. And kudos to Bruce Willis and Laurie Metcalf for their fine, terrific performance. I mean, it was really good. Check it out. It's at the Broadhurst Theater until February 14th. So if you want to catch it, hurry. You can go to www.miserybroadway.com for more information. Okay, I'm going to dedicate today's show to my friend Bruce Willis and Misery. So I'm going to go with the mystery kind of themes today. I'll be opening up the chat room soon. If you want to join the chat room, just go to Blog Talk Radio. Join Blog Talk Radio. Have a self-promoting name, and I will promote you on the show if you're in the chat room. So I want to start. I want to be spooky. I want to be spooky with stuff. So let's go down a little bit and see what I got going on here, because it was a great mystery. Oh, maybe the... here we go. The Apple Sisters start us off.
Three little merry murderers walking down the lane, walking down the lane. Three little merry murderers walking down the lane, walking down the lane. We'll twinkle our eyes and charm you with grace. Surprise, but never look at our face. We were caught by 100 bunch of feral cats. Our faces melted off by a bully, bunny, border rat. Three little merry murderers walking down the lane, walking down the lane. Three little merry murderers walking down the lane, walking down the lane. We'll giggle and we'll smile. Run when you chase. Have fun for a while, but never look at our face. Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Three little merry murderers
walking down the lane,
walking down the lane,
walking down the lane,
killing 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 down the lane.
Three little merry murderers
killing down the lane.
Butts out of bed. Curds and whey, I've a very good price today. If there's someone who cannot pay, you can put it on layaway. What's that smell? What an odious odor. From me. Just me. like you touched to me, sending shivers all through me. For me, it is more than a smell, it's a feeling. Its hold on my soul sends my memory reeling.
What's that smell? It is waking my baby. Smell that smell, worse than diapers and puke. You can tell that some trouble is brewing. Here comes Constable Ewing.
He can tell us what's doing. Rancid and rank. I've searched well, there's not been a slime, nor are corpses decaying. Can't believe what I'm saying.
Effluvia.
Show Misery, a great show. You want to check it out. I am still shaking from one of the scenes. Oh, so we're going along the themes of suspense and mystery with today's theme. Okay, let's keep it going with a little Kafka.
Hello, children. I'm Miss Crandall, your substitute teacher. Miss Salvatore was suddenly called away. Something about a case of food poisoning. But that shouldn't stop us from enjoying our lunch period, now should it? So, as a special treat, I'm going to read to you a very lovely holiday story called Kafka for Christmas from the Scholastica Kafka for Children series. Once upon a Christmas Eve, there was a man named Gregor Samsa who went to bed a businessman and woke up a Christmas roach. A really big one. Well, children, you can imagine how shocked Gregor was to wake up with antennas and six legs. His parents were not going to like this at all. Why, they never ever let him have a pet, let alone be one. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. It was Gregor's dad, and he was mad.
Gregor? He yelled. Merry Christmas. Get up. It's time for you to go to work at your boring, nondescript job, so you can support me and the whole family while I stay home and read the paper out loud.
Get off my case, said Gregor. I'll be out when I'm good and ready. Now, children, Gregor wasn't usually rude to his parents, but today was special. Next, his mom knocked on the door and yelled, Gregor, open this door at once. It's Christmas and you're upsetting your father. Next, his sister Greta put in her 2 cents with, Gregor's gonna get it, Gregor's gonna get it. Gregor said nothing. He just lay there feeling persecuted in a nightmarishly impersonal world. As you can guess by now, Gregor's family was very dysfunctional. So that morning, everyone left him alone to go open their Christmas presents, and Gregor spent the day in bed, his spiny roach legs flaying in the air trying to get up. As this was his first day as a roach, he didn't quite know how everything worked. Gregor could hear all the laughter, Christmas carols, and everyone having fun in the other room. Now he was really pissed. So with all his roach might, he leaped out of bed, landed on his 6 little legs, and opened the door with his roach jaw and screamed, Surprise! I'm a roach. I hope you're all satisfied. Well, you can imagine how shocked everyone was. They darn near had an aneurysm. Now Gregor's dad was really mad and yelled, What's the meaning of this? Is this some kind of political statement, or are you just trying to bug me? Gregor's mom passed out in the Christmas eggnog. Gregor's sister just kept yelling, Gregor's gonna get it, Gregor's gonna get it. The rest of the day, Gregor hid under the living room couch, and Greta brought him rotten food to eat and said, You old bug, you'll do anything to get attention. Then Greta would torture him by turning the lights on and off, on and off, on and off. Stop it! Gregor cried. Let's face it, children, as sisters go, Greta was a pain in the butt. Just then, Gregor's mom walked by wiping the eggnog off her face and saw Gregor gnawing on a piece of dead animal carcass and had a coronary right there on the spot. While his mother lay gasping for air on the floor, Greta got out her violin and began to play her favorite Christmas folk song, Das Kukaraches Christmas, for the lodgers who lived in their house. By the way, lodgers are people who live in your house when the economy is bad, and if they're related, they're called moochers. Just then, Gregor snapped and said, That does it! And he crawled out from under the couch into the dining room. Then one of the lodgers, named the letter K, just K, saw him and said, What's that? Gregor's dad said, It's nothing. Merry Christmas. Concert's over. Everybody go to bed. That does it, said Greta. I'm never going to get married with him around. She's right, said Gregor's dad. And Gregor's mom said nothing. She just lay on the floor, gasping for air. Let's get rid of him, cried Greta. Okay, but how? Chimed both his parents. Gregor grew nervous as they slowly took off their shoes and began throwing them at him. Ow! Stop it! It's Christmas, for crying out loud, cried Gregor. Then Gregor's dad yelled, Got him! They cried, and Gregor died. All the lodgers came down to look at the dead flat thing that only early Christmas Eve had been a businessman. Gregor's dad charged 10 cents a look, made a lot of money, and kicked the lodgers out. Then he tipped the maid a lot of money to get rid of Gregor's remains. And the family spent the rest of the holidays in the country, where Greta married Lodger K, just the letter K, and stretched her firm young body and said, Great! Now I can have his room. Wasn't that a swell Christmas story, children? Why, you've hardly eaten a thing. Well, never mind. Let's just put everything away under our desk. And guess what? It's nap time. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Bobby Kraft is new to the chat room. Bobby Kraft, if you'll type in what your show is and when, I'll announce it. Gail Parento's in the chat room as well. Hello, Gail. Check out Parento Guidance on Facebook. And today's show is dedicated to my friend Bruce Willis on Broadway in Misery. So all the themes of today's, what we're playing, will be mystery, suspense, and scary stuff. There you go.
a giant tarantula is born in the lab of Dr. Spinetti. The mom and dad were average size, but this guy's 8 feet tall already. He soon outgrows his backyard pen, busts out onto the street. Spinetti reels, some power lines go down, the rolling hills of Tuscany at his feet. The tarantula in the piazza has cleared out the sun-drenched square. Only the raven-haired, black-eyed Gina has the nerve to stand right there. The tarantula stops. They stare. He slinks away down past the hotel Kafka. Gina waves her designer sunglasses at the tarantula in the piazza. The tarantula wreaks havoc of Cardinal DiBienzo. He finds he prefers the darker grapes, but that's not all he's into. He digs and crawls beneath the earth, past drawings of ancient cave dwellers. He rolls a barrel out with his hairy legs, sips Chianti in the cool wine cellar. Tarantula in the piazza has cleared out the fountain on the square. Only the raven-haired, black-eyed Gina has the nerve to stand right there. The tarantula stops. They stare. He slinks away down past the hotel Kafka. Gina waves her designer sunglasses at the tarantula. Night gently falls on the old idyllic town. Everyone's avoiding the tarantula. Something out of work, Fellini has beat up circus clown. And oh yeah, then the sun-drenched square. Only the raven-haired, black-eyed Gina has the nerve to stand right there. The tarantula stops. They stare. He slinks away down past the hotel Kafka. Gina waves a tear from her eye to the tarantula.
When I was a little girl, my Spanish grandmother would take me to see these Spanish horror films, made even more horrific by the fact I didn't speak Spanish. But I always knew who the villain in the film was. Oh, yeah. She was that skinny little woman, all dressed in black, her hair always in a bun. In her hand, she'd be holding a mysterious box and be standing at the top of a tall, winding staircase. At the bottom of the staircase would always be some beautiful young woman who'd say something like,
"Hola, ¿dónde está mi esposo?"
And the woman at the top of the staircase would say, "Tu esposo está aquí." She'd open the box, inside of it a man's head. "Ayúdame, ayúdame."
The head would fall out of the box, bounce down the stairs, boom, 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 land at the woman's feet. She'd go, ah! The woman at the top of the stairs would go, ha, 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 ha. And that was every film I saw over and over again as a child.
What fun. Bobby Kraft is in the chat room. Bobby, I don't see your show listed, but I bet you have one on Blog Talk Radio. Gail Parento's in the chat room, too. Must mention, my friend, Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And George Bettinger, The Mom and Pop Shop, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. on Dream Stream Radio. Let's keep that theme going, kids.
A few years ago, this movie came out, and it really upset me. It was based on this true story about this rugby team that crashed in the Andes along with their family, friends, and college roommates. What really bothered me was the dilemma they faced when they ran out of food, and it didn't look like anyone was going to find them. So they had to make what was probably the most gut-wrenching decision of their lives, which was to eat the dead. Oh, what a decision to have to make. And if that weren't heinous enough, who would you eat first? Family? Friends? In what order? Dad? Mom? Sis? In what part? Ugh! Just picturing the process upsets me. Well, many therapy sessions later, and soon after my therapist disconnected his phone and moved away without telling me, a cab driver reminded me that blood is thicker than water and Taiping is not a town in China. Well, logic dictates, okay, not everybody's logic but mine, the first course should be your best friend or college roommate. With that in mind, I composed a little ditty, which should they ever do a musical version of the movie Alive, I want the producers to feel free to put this song anywhere in there. And I would like to preface this by saying, this song is in every way in bad taste. I ate my best friend's brain today, I baked it in the sun. She said that she had all the brains, now I have more than one. La-di-da, la-di-da. She wasn't really a great friend, never would she backward bend or go out of her way to lend me her pay. So I ate my best friend's brain. La-di-da, la-di-da. I don't know what a best friend is, should be something more. A friend would let you eat her brain when you're not near a store. La-di-da, la-di-da. We went to the same school, lived in the same dorm, when she bought me a beer, but the beer was warm. So I ate my best friend's brain. La-di-da, la-di-da. And when the plane crashed in the snow, for her it was the end. She was always more cerebral, so I cracked open her cranium. I made a frittata of her medulla oblongata. My leg was broke, but I didn't choke when I ate my best friend's brain. La-di-da, la-di-da. When I ate my best friend's brain.
Oh, keeping that theme going. There we go. Oh, I have an announcement. Here he is. Bobby Kraft. Bobby Kraft, I'm with Stupid, IWS. He's the senior correspondent for IWS radio show, which is I'm with Stupid, every Sunday from noon till 2 on Blog Talk Radio. There's your plug, Bobby Kraft. I got it in there. All righty then. My friend Gail Parento's in the house, worried about being snowed in. I don't know. Today looks nice. Who knows what's going to happen? It's ruining my plans to try and plan a nice birthday for my son. He'll be 21 tomorrow. And he's not helping a lot with what he wants to do. I'm trying to plan something. So I'm going to dedicate this next song to him.
I wake up in the morning, didn't sleep well through the night. I tried to get some Z's, but the voices made me right. I need a cup of Java to jumpstart and feel pert. My boys can't see from my glazed eyes that I am not alert. Everything I tell you goes in one ear, out the other. Just do what I say and listen to me. You'll live longer. I'm your mother. Make me.
You're not the voice of me. I'm the voice of you.
Make me. Great to the Z. Make me. And that's a fact. I can just incorporate the voices in my act. I want to find an outlet that makes it all okay. But the voices in my head yell, come out and play. I could pretend I'm normal. I could pretend I'm fine, but there's no fun in being sane. So come on and share the wine.
Make me.
Tonight, anywhere in the world, www.mnn.org, the Nancy Lombardo Show, every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My CDs are available for purchase on CD Baby, and go see my friend Bruce Willis in Misery on Broadway. It's going to scare you. All right, I'm going to end the show with a little scatology. Thank you for tuning in. It's been fun.
I won't dream of being chased through a dollhouse by a white lobster that wore glitter and spoke with a French accent. Now, what this meant, I'll never know. But I do know if I told anybody, I'd be labeled a lunatic. And labeling is wrong unless it's for the public good. Let's say you're at a party, and you can take out a labeling gun and start tagging people like they do in Wild Kingdom. Wacko. Loser. You're so friendly. That would really be good. But not too friendly like the guys in the office, or your boss who's really nice. Except in an earthquake, you'd really be thinking, he's old. He's slow. I can beat him to the Georgia. Oh, yeah. LA's a jammed up situation. I have enough faults, I wouldn't purposely build my home over one. The one time I was naive enough to think that generic food was for the elderly. It made sense to me at the time. All those big black and white labels. There's a difference between generic and geriatric. Boy, did I feel foolish not to be confused with them. But I do think they have a lot to do with each other. Since men tend to do a lot of thinking from that area. What all this has to do with nothing is, don't you know? How my brain works and connects things. Like so. So anytime you think I'm crazy, you're probably right. Yeah. Woo! I did it. Thank you. Chris, I'll be here.
tuning in. I'm Nancy Lombardo, your host of Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio. Bye-bye.